I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
When that's a round table, we dance where we're able. We do routines and all the scenes of footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Many times we give and rhyme, but I'm quite unsingable. We're off from mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Tuesday, the second day of January. The prep tip today is to inventory your library and fill in the gaps. We got some time right now, so we'll just discuss that in more detail. I've been in hundreds of homes in my capacity as a private investigator, a homicide detective, and most American homes do not have a home library. Of course, over half of American adults can't read at the fifth grade level or higher. 20% of American adults can't read at all. They're completely illiterate. That explains why many American homes don't have a home library, but we're not concerned about those folks right now. We're concerned about those of you who are literate and actually own books. One of my favorite books, or there's only a couple of books that I keep in vacuum-packed bags. The New King James Version of the Holy Bible and a couple of other books. Special Forces manual, the one published in the 1960s, Special Forces Operational Techniques, and Professor McCanny's 60-page booklet on surviving Planet X. That's the three books I keep in vacuum-packed bags in a safe. But moving on from there, one of my favorite books is the Webster's Unabridged Dictionary. It's a huge volume. The one I got is a less expensive volume. It was not on high-quality paper. It's kind of turned yellow over the 20-plus years I've owned it. But it is, in my opinion, Webster's Unabridged Dictionary is a very important book. And we'd like to hear what your very important books are, by the way. The call number is 512-248-8252. I like the 1820, whatever it is, or so edition of Webster's Dictionary also. It's a great reference and resource. Because of my career as a paralegal and homicide detective, I have a copy of Black's Law Dictionary. Most people wouldn't find it as useful as I have over the years. Going from there, my private library gets into a lot of areas. Horticulture, how to raise fruits and vegetables is part of my library. A lot of books devoted to healthcare, dozens of books devoted to healthcare, and of course books related to military science. That's part of my library. As a side note, when I went back into the Army Special Forces in 1979 as an intelligence analyst on an A-team, the intelligence NCO. I was given the job to bring the team library up to date, which meant reviewing all the books we had and replacing them with the updated versions. Of course, the out-of-date versions, instead of going to the dumpster, they went into my home, my private library. I saw no point in destroying perfectly good books just because a paragraph or two had changed. So I just kept them, and they're still in my private library, all those military textbooks. I thoroughly enjoyed updating that library, by the way. And anyway, my private library is several hundred volumes. I don't have even close to an exact count. My wife, Mrs. Moore, she has her own library of several hundred volumes also. At some point in the near future, we hope to be combining our two libraries and using the Dewey Decimal System so that these books can be kept in proper order and quickly located anytime we need a book for reference. My private library includes a collection of fiction. Fiction is a great way to relax, and well-written fiction can actually be quite informative, very informative. One of my favorite fiction books is Patriots, A Novel of Surviving the Coming Collapse by James Wesley Rawls. I've been following his work and his books more than 20 years. The first edition of the book came out as what was called shareware on the internet. The first published volume, I bought that, and I liked it so much I actually wrote an index for it, and I mailed it to the author, and the next edition, the page count changed, so he wasn't able to use my index, so he created an updated version of his own index. And how many novels have you ever read that have an index? Not very many. Not very many. But this book does have an index. And besides being great entertainment, which it is, and I should talk about what the book, what the topic of the book is. It has to do with a fast-moving financial collapse in the United States. That's what it's about. And there is a group of men and women who came together as college students who decided to prepare themselves for a future event of some kind. They didn't know what it would be. And they maintained their relationship over the years as they became young adults and entered their careers and so forth. And they, as a group, they purchased property in Idaho, and they stocked the property with the needful things that they would need in the event that they would need to go there. And that's what the book is about. It's about this group of young men and women who are surviving the consequences of a fast-moving economic collapse. And the title of the book, once again, is Patriots, A Novel of Surviving the Coming Collapse. Another excellent book. I don't believe it has an index, but it probably could and should have an index. One Second After. I've had the author here on my show, and I'd love to have him back again. But he's a busy guy, and a great book. Book that we talk about more recently is written by a fellow Missourian. His name is Stephen Starr with two R's, S-T-A-R-R. The title of the book is Nuclear High Altitude Electromagnetic Pulse. The subtitle is A Mortal Threat to the U.S. Power Grid and U.S. Nuclear Power Plants. Mr. Starr, he's a professor at the University of Missouri, by the way, wrote this book to help wake up Americans to the clear and present danger of this real threat to the U.S. power grid. Excellent book that I highly recommend. Not a very big book. I've got my copy here in my hands. It's only a couple hundred pages. Let's see, 187 pages. So it's a quick read. Very technical with a lot of footnotes to original source material. That's very important. A book that's at my website is a free download. Let's see if I can find this book. It's a reference book. If you decide to download it, I suggest you do the following, that you go to one of these Office Depot kind of places and have it sent there to their email, where they can pick it up from your email, and print it out on three-hole punch paper. That's formatted so the holes don't cover up any of the verbiage. And I'm scrolling down to it here so that we can talk about that in more detail. A great book, and I think you'll be glad that you have it in your library. Here we are. Here's the title. Matrix 3, Volume 1. The subtitle is The Psychosocial, Chemical, Biological, and Electromagnetic Manipulation of Human Consciousness. 918 pages. Yeah, baby. That's a big book. 918 pages by Valdemar Valerian. You can find used copies. I got a copy when it first came out in 1995. And it's You can find used copies on Amazon for about $300. But it's the copyright's expired. It's a free download at my website. And you can get it printed out at your local home Office Depot, Office Max kind of place, and get a really big three-ring binder, and you've got an excellent, excellent resource there. I'll give the title once again. Matrix 3, Volume 1, Psychosocial, Chemical, Biological, and Electromagnetic Manipulation of Human Consciousness. Now, granted, technology has changed a lot since the book was published in 1994, 1995 timeframe, on one hand. On the other, the basic premises have not changed. The concepts have not changed. The dangers to all of us have not changed. Why this book, 918 pages? Well, here's why. Instead of footnotes giving you references to original source material, they actually reprint the original source material. That's why it's 918 pages. So you'll see these other original source material printed right there in the volume, in the book itself. Great book, and I do highly recommend it. Reference books are important. They're not optional. Your home library may be a massive life-saving resource for the whole neighborhood, because chances are nobody else in the neighborhood is going to have an extensive home library. There might be a few books here and there, but the odds of that being the case are pretty slim to none. So your home library at some future date could become a matter of life and death for men and women and boys and girls in your neighborhood, because of the life-saving knowledge that's in your home library. That's a true statement. And let's see, it's about 10 after the hour. We haven't heard from Steve Bannoun yet. Hopefully he'll be able to join us. He's on the road from between Tennessee and Florida. There are a lot of marginal areas in the areas he's traveling, so hopefully he'll be able to join us. I'm a sucker for bookstores. I really am. I can't go into a bookstore and not come out with some books. I can't do it. It's simply the way I am. I know many communities will be what's called a book fair. We've had those in St. Louis for 20-plus years, where it's a fundraiser for a charity, typically, where there'll be tens of thousands of books on display in some venue, doesn't matter where. And you can buy a lot of books for not much money. I used to frequent those a lot, especially before I left the city back in the 1990s. I would go to the book fair and I'd come out with 20 or 30 books routinely. I would do that, which are still in my library, by the way. My younger brother has my kid brother has a business buying and reselling used books, and he's built an addition onto his home about, it's probably 1,000 square feet just for this business, where he has a very nice, well-organized collection of these books that he sells on Amazon. And I say good for him. Good for him. He's helping a lot of people achieve their goals to supplement their libraries. It's a shame where we've gone as a country when it comes to literacy. It really is. As I mentioned earlier, more than half the adults in this country can't read at the fifth grade level or higher. I consider that tragic. What does that mean? Well, here's what it means. They can't read for pleasure. Not the normal books that adults read for pleasure. They can't do that. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable. If you're stumbling over every fourth or fifth word because you can't read at the fifth grade level, that's not fun. It's horrible. But that's what we've done to ourselves. Now, that's over half the American population. Now, 20% of the American population is illiterate. They can't read. Illiterate means you can't read at the third grade level. You can read at kindergarten, first or second grade level, but you're considered literate, or at least semi-literate, maybe I might be more accurate, if you can read the third grade level or higher. 20% of Americans can't even do that. Now, this is a presidential election year, and I've said this a number of times publicly, but I'll say it again. The candidate who can influence the most illiterate voters is the one who's going to win the election. None of these presidential elections are determined by 20% of the electorate. None of them. They're determined by typically 3 to 5%. And, of course, illiterate voters can be a registered voter. They can vote in elections just like anybody else, despite their being illiterate. Many ballots, and I've seen this over the years, and I don't believe it's done in all places, they'll have at the top of the Democratic section of candidates a image of a donkey. At the top of the Republican section, an image of an elephant. The top of the it's not the Taxpayers Party anymore. They have the image of an eagle. So that the illiterate voters know who to vote for. We have a caller on hold here from Chi-Town, Chicago, JP in Chicago. Good morning, JP.
Houses are selling JP, quick in Chicago.
There you are. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, the houses are selling quick where I'm at in Chicago, so I should be out of here soon. but hey, John, I want to recommend a few books about pre-Bible books. One that ties in with a lot of your subjects is, the Book of Enoch, obviously, and the Colburn Bible and the Book of Invasions. Now, what's interesting about ancient history, if you go back before the Bible, in ancient Egypt, they were preparing for some big event. And it does speak about it in Joseph. I think Joseph was having dreams about a future climate change, a climate event. I don't want to use that word, climate change, but you know what I mean, Planet X. So they were preparing for it for hundreds of years, and they were ready for it with grain, and that's actually in the Bible. But pre-Bible, like the book of the Colburn Bible, is what the elites, like the British royals and those, they read that because it actually talks about times back in days similar to today. And if you look at those days, boy, it's shocking. A lot of characters, for example, there's a guy in the Book of Invasions, and this is where I tie in DNA, because in a lot of these books I read, you could correlate modern science with today and back it up. And that's, you know, a lot of remote viewing. If you get a target, you want to verify the target. You just don't want to believe nonsense. So that's how you get good at things. You got to verify the truth. Well, Gaelthios was a warrior. Moses was a warrior. He was a king. Moses drove chariots, okay? Gaelthios was a Hyksos king. And these are the guys, they're written on the pyramids. Actually, they have pictures of them on the pyramids. He rode into Spain with thousands of men, tens of thousands, and fought 300 battles, and he eventually settled in Ireland. And there's artifacts to this day. Queen Scotia, who's supposedly the bloodline of the Egyptian pharaohs, you could find her gravestone in Ireland. So there's something to be said about ancient books, John. What I like about the ancient books is they haven't been edited too much. Do you have any ancient books you like?
Well, I've got a copy of the Colburn. And there are several versions. You want the one from the Colburn Trust, I believe, is the most accurate one. And Professor McKinney got that for me. There's a lot of wisdom in these older books, aren't there?
Yeah, and that's what I like about Stephen Benoon. I hope he calls in because Stephen Benoon speaks Greek and Hebrew, and he's able to translate the Essenes. So he's been getting into the Essene work, and that's something new now. Because we just found the Colburn, or the Qumran sect, I think it's called, the books, ancient books from the time of Jesus. And if you look at that stuff, it's a lot like Jesus' work.
Hold on to the break here, JP. Hold on to the break. We'll get back to your comments after the break.
Okay.
you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas. The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape. Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the Army of Santa Ana.
If anyone wishes to depart under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here with me in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. If you're tired of being tired, you need an energy cleaner. Arthritis pain got you down, same thing. An energy cleaner will help you. Check out the details. You can place your order right there at thelibertyman.com. JP, let's get back to your comments.
Yeah, well, what's nice about those ancient books is it gives you a good, a microscope into what those people were living like. And is what's interesting is on the pyramids, like I said, with the Gaelthios, these guys look like Spartan warriors, and the fact is that they brought modern technology to Egypt, and that was why Gaelthios was awarded a you know, to marry into the royal line. They don't just let anybody marry into the royal line. So he saved Egypt from all the, you know, I don't know what they were called, Ethiopians, just huge, massive invasions. And the way they did it is by archery and chariots. They had mobile tanks, and that's basically how they defeated thousands of Africans from the lower south. And that's in real, that was documented on the pyramids. So you could actually go back and look at the pictures of these guys, and they look badass. But those are our ancestors, John. Those are, if you look at the UK and Ireland, we're genetically tied in to those Semitic people. So we have a genetic tie to that area. I don't want to just say Israel, but to that area specifically. And that's what's cool about ancient books is they're not tainted. And that Colburn Bible, that talks about literally the destroyer. That's what they call Planet X in the book, the destroyer. So my opinion is that based on looking at this for 10 years, everything's increased. Earthquakes, sinkholes, tornadoes, weather changing. And it all links in, I believe, what you're talking about with Planet X and also a pole shift. So that's what I've been focusing on, just watching that pole shift, because that's the key, and the weather changes. So if people aren't prepared, you've really got to get into action, get your rear in gear. And I also recommend John's PDF books, John. I've downloaded all your books online that you have on your website. And having a digital copy in a, you know, in a you know, a bag, you know, like a bag that a Faraday cage bag. That's right. What you need to do. But those books online are great because you could get thousands of books on one little memory stick,
right,
and then back it up. But before the grid goes down, it's important for people to start getting digital stuff and start making backups and copies of digital, because that stuff's going to go away, I believe, if there ever is a war. What do you think, John?
Well, be sure anything like that is kept in a heavy-duty Faraday bag. That's very important. Otherwise, it could be lost, couldn't it?
Yep. And that's the one thing with technology in my shop, boy. People lose everything. They put their family photos, everything on their laptop, and then they drop it and, you know, drop some soda on it or something, and they wonder why all their photos go away. But good news is there is data recovery out there. Guys like me make a lot of money off of it. It's like $500 to $1,000 to recover data. But if there is huge, yeah, it's expensive. So you can still get data off of destroyed objects, and that's what the police FBI do with forensic labs, for example. You could take the platters off the disc and read them individually, even if there has been an EMP. So there is recovery if there is that sort of thing. But the EMP is important to have it protected. And your source of library online, John, is excellent. I especially like those Special Forces books. I have
well, good. Good.
Copy.
I'm glad you made use of them. That's what they're there for, is people to make use of them and incorporate them in their private library. That's great, JP.
Yeah. Well, God bless you, John. Have a good one.
Appreciate it. Call number is 512-248-8252. I started talk radio in the winter of 1995, and that was with WGNU 920 on the AM dial in St. Louis with a show 1 hour a week. They had, I don't know, maybe 30 hosts there. It was all talk radio at the time. I think they may have gone back to that format. I'm not sure. I haven't kept up with them. But my show quickly became most popular on the network, popular to the point where they were paying for billboards on Interstate 55 with only my image and only my name on it, none of the other hosts, to promote Republic Broad to report WGNU 920 on the dial. The sister of the owner was one of my biggest fans, by the way, and of course the owner was also, because I was drawing big numbers. And it was a great experience and a great training. Here's our bottom of the hour break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names, Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. My website is thelibertyman.com. I'm so proud of my current webmaster. He's been on the job now about a year. Took over from Tim Spencer, who died about a year ago. And it's been great getting everything up and running properly. All the books that JP made reference to are free downloads there, ready to help you achieve your goals. And that's my goal, is to help you achieve your goals. Every American family that's prepared is something that will make our country stronger, make your neighborhood stronger, make your state stronger. Every prepared family does that, and that's one of my goals, to help all as many Americans as I can get prepared for hard times ahead of us. What's coming? I can't tell you what will come. I can't tell you what could come. Is civil war a possibility? Of course it is. Being talked about in mainstream media as a very distinct real possibility. War with China? Well, I think we're already in World War III, quite frankly. The photographs I've seen of Chinese men being processed by the Border Patrol, they're all standing there. We're about a third or half of them are standing at parade rest. I've talked about this before. We all have new listeners. You may not have heard this, but parade rest is something a man or a woman does not naturally do. Your feet are about a foot apart. Your hands held behind your back. That's the position of parade rest, which is something that is almost always done only by men or women who've had military training. And I see that in these Chinese males waiting to be processed by the Border Patrol. That tells me a lot. It should tell you a lot also. Financially, this country is in dire straits. It can be turned around. President Trump will probably turn around pretty quickly if and when he's elected. There's one thing the man understands, it's economics and money and finance. He understands that better than most human beings. And if anybody has the ability to turn that around, he'll certainly do that. In the meantime, we're on our own. So what's the resolution of this? How do we resolve it? I believe the best way to resolve it is to become part of a hobby farm. Now, if you're an urban dweller, you don't have those skills. I understand that. I appreciate it. It's not easy. It takes about 3 years to take raw dirt and make it into a hobby farm. It doesn't mean you can't do it. You should make the attempt, I believe, or work with a family that's already doing it. Hobby farms need two things. They need labor and they need money. If you contribute one or both, you can really help a lot. And we now have joining us for this last 23 minutes or so, my friend Steve Benoon. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, John. It is a crazy day, I promise you that.
I understand. I know you have a lot of crazy days. During the last segment, we were talking about the ancient manuscripts and how you were involved with them. What are your language skills, if I might ask?
I do speak Hebrew. I speak Hebrew, both modern Hebrew. I understand biblical Hebrew. And I guess that's the best way. I do not the Paleo Hebrew, a little bit of understanding, but not a lot. And of course, that'd be like English versus ancient English, but a totally different type of alphabet altogether, so to speak. But that's where my background is. The other languages don't really matter, but on biblical, that's what I do. I study those type texts.
What about any other ancient languages, Latin or Greek, for example, or Aramaic?
I do not do any of those, other than more of a hobby. Whereas in Hebrew, I had Hebrew from five. I studied it from a synagogue perspective when I was in Orthodox Judaism. I did the highest level in a Christian college of Hebrew. I did Hebrew University in Jerusalem, the Hebrew as well. And I studied at an Ulpan when I lived in Israel for modern Hebrew. So I have got it from, and it's really, in a way, it's kind of a good thing to do it that way, John, because what a lot of people don't realize is that translation of Hebrew, and I'm sure it's the same way with Greek, is really done more from a theological perspective. And a lot of people don't know that. You know, when I was going to Christian college doing the Hebrew language, I remember asking the professor there, because there was one particular type of source I liked a lot. And he said, we don't use that. And so I asked him, I said, what do you mean you don't use it? I said, it's just another scholar's views on the translation of the language. And he said, well, it doesn't agree with our doctrinal
view.
And so I'm like, you got to be kidding me. He says, no. He said, well, Steve, he said, believe it or not, that's how it's taught in different universities. It's based on your doctrinal perspective.
Right, right.
So I got it from different angles. So when I study the Dead Sea Scrolls, or which is mainly the source documents I look at, I do look at Latin documents and things like that, but I don't have an expertise in those languages like I do in Hebrew. So my ability is more just opinion in that case there, whereas in Hebrew documents, I can give more of an authoritative response on those.
Well, Steve, you mentioned the Dead Sea Scrolls. I understand that access to those is highly restricted. Is that still the case?
It is. And, you know, what's really sad about that, too, John, is that we've got documents in the Dead Sea Scrolls that they won't even allow to be made public, especially like in the case of the Isaiah Scroll. We have what they call the quote-unquote Great Isaiah Scroll, which is we will say is somewhat similar to the Masoretic version of Isaiah that we have in Hebrew. But even with that, there's over 2,000 differences in there. Of course, a lot of that is spelling, punctuation. But in some cases, it's complete sentences that are not there. But there's another version of the Isaiah Scroll that was also in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Rachel Laurie actually spoke about that. She was one of the scholars that worked on the Dead Sea Scrolls. And she said it was meaningfully different from that of the Masoretic version. In fact, she also went so much as to say that each community had their own rendition of the Great Isaiah, of the Isaiah Scroll. And she said that was something that was very surprising to the scholars to learn that they would have different versions of it. Because, you know, nowadays they make such a big deal if you have one punctuation error, oh, that's like a major sin. But yet most Christians have no clue that the Masoretic text is actually was not put together until nearly 1,000 years after the time after the birth of Christ. You know, so we take it as some authoritative text, you know, when we say the Hebrew. But and granted, we do have the Dead Sea Scrolls and we have a lot of biblical scrolls to be able to compare it to now. But really and truly, you know, your Septuagint, the Greek version of the Old Testament, is really probably more accurate than that of the Masoretic Hebrew version that we have today.
Well, I'm going to speculate that the Dead Sea Scrolls are kept from the public because if revealed, it would upset social order in the Christian world. Is that somewhat accurate?
I do believe that that would be accurate on a number of levels and reasons. One, for example, when you read Genesis and the Dead Sea Scrolls, we have several chapters there in the beginning that we don't have in our own canon whatsoever. I mean, you want to talk about differences. Oh, my gosh, a lot of differences. Now, those are not as alarming, but we also, for example, the Book of Enoch we did have a complete version of the Book of Enoch, but that was taken, was purchased by some guy over in Kuwait at the time. And then there was another book that was discovered in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And I knew one of the scholars, not personally, but kind of indirectly, that spoke about this other book, he said, that was very similar to that of what the, or maybe I should say similar in, not in context, but kind of like in nature of the Book of Enoch, but also very differently. And he claimed that that book ended up making its way to Rome. Doesn't say who actually got it, but I can only imagine who got it. And that's always been a big issue. Anything that even is remotely contrary to whatever the doctrinal viewpoint is, they want to keep that suppressed, especially with the Dead Sea Scrolls and there being hints of Jesus. And in fact, I found one place in there not too long ago where it was obviously speaking of the death of Jesus and the fact that Barabbas was released. And I don't think anybody had ever saw that before. And but there again, if you read the English translation, that's the drawback, because in English, I've seen too many times, John, where they intentionally translate it in a way that's not consistent with what's written there. And they do it because they don't want you to know what's really written there.
I find it rather amazing that documents 1,000-plus years old could pose a threat to modern society. I find it rather unusual and unique, but that's simply the way it is, isn't it?
It is, and it's you know, John, I'm learning more and more. It's about control. You know, if you want to control the narrative, you want to be able to control society. It's just like we're working with the intelligence community. And, you know, like, for example, when I worked with the government, we had this one book that was delivered to the office in Syria of not like we have an official office per se, but the U.S. had the embassy back before we decided to destroy Syria. And this is going back, I think, John, I guess in the 70s. And the Bedouin kind of guy came in and he brought in an ancient scroll, presented it to the U.S. government, ended up being a book of Daniel, but it was a book of Daniel that we had never seen before.
Really?
And it was very similar to the book of Daniel that we have today. The only difference was Daniel in this book here actually explains how he was able to know the secrets of the king, how he knew his dreams and things. And this became classified. We wouldn't allow it to be revealed to the public. But it's also what gave birth to the remote viewing project, because the U.S. government found out that Daniel revealed enough information that we could learn how to remote view. And we're not talking about remote viewing where you sit down and draw pictures on a piece of paper while you're wide awake saying, oh, yeah, I remote viewed and went over there and this is what I see in the other room. Not saying that there's not people that do this and they claim that it's somewhat accurate, but I'm talking about the remote viewing where you go in your room, you lay down on the bed, you close your eyes, and you get right down to the certain point right before you fall asleep, and you're able to then move your spirit to another dimension, and then you're able to go places with intentional thought and actually see things that are going on. And and of course, we were very successful. I say we, as far as U.S. government, and about 80% accuracy on spying on the enemy. But it was all because of the Book of Daniel that was a little different than what we have today.
Really, that's quite amazing. That's astonishing. Moving on from there, any updates on Ukraine, sir?
Well, Ukraine is a very interesting developing situation because I know that there were some indications at one point, at least the Russians were trying to make it look like that the Ukrainian government was about ready to surrender. I don't believe that for a moment, because even though Zelensky might be wanting to surrender, NATO is not going to allow him to surrender. And now that we have Zelensky came out publicly and just announced that he's wanting to he's really looking to be able to target Crimea in this next phase of the war. And he claims that the reason why they didn't do very well on their last year for their comeback phase of the battle there was because all the media leaked everything out that they were going to do, which I really find that absurd. They're just not willing to tell the truth. Russia is definitely not losing this war. Of course, I don't really see any winners. If you look at Kharkiv, pretty much, it's like an entire city just lays in rubble. And which I kind of feel like Gaza's probably headed in the same direction, kind of like that as well. But yet there's no end in sight. And of course, Zelensky is also asking for the Germans to release their particular missiles to be able to go after Crimea, and specifically to be able to take out the Crimean Bridge. That Putin, as you know and I know, this man that's the pride and joy of Russia, was the Crimean Bridge. If Germany actually takes and allows those weapons to go to Ukraine, then no doubt what I was told about a year ago from the Joint Chiefs of Staff meeting there is that they believe that Putin may very well target Germany. And that's all it would take probably to give him the green light to say that, okay, now I'm going to actually do that. So, I see that, John, and I can't help but feel like that You know, we're not out of the woods yet with the situation with Ukraine. 2024 is the year that I was told that this is when we would end up going to a third world war. Now, one thing I'm still watching for, too, is that I also was told that in 2024, Putin would not, either he would not seek re-election or he'd end up getting replaced. But either way, the Russians would begin to demand a more hardliner to come in because of NATO. That they want to address that issue. Now, that just kind of tells me it's kind of like a staged scenario.
Right.
But then again, we start seeing the attacks that the Ukraine is doing on Russian cities, the bordering, you know, the country there. And you get enough of those types of attacks coming in there and kill enough Russians on Russian soil, they may very well begin to demand that they want a more hardliner in there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're not going to tolerate that. Yeah.
Right. So it's a setup. It's definitely coming.
Right. Steve, we've got a caller on hold. We've got Jill in Missouri. Good morning, Jill. Jill in Missouri. Go ahead. There she is.
Good morning. This Steve, I have a friend. His name is Dr. Miles Jones. He's a linguist and an archaeologist, and in March of 2023, he led an expedition to Mount Sinai. He wrote a book called The Greek Jesus versus the Hebrew Jesus, and he says that the scripture, Matthew 5:17 through 20, which says, he came to fulfill the law. He said that word fulfill is not correct. He said it should be he came to uphold the law, talking about Jesus Christ, and that gives it a totally different meaning. And I wondered if you had discovered this in your research, that it should be he came to uphold the law, not fulfill the law.
I would have to, you know, there's different renditions that we can look at. And, of course, I'd like to see what the Hebrew Matthew says. I don't have access to that right now driving, but I'll definitely look into that as well. I would actually, to some, disagree with that only because when we see Jesus, and he, for example, and he says, you've heard it said of them of old, and tooth, but I say unto you, if they compel you to go a mile, go with them twain. If they take your coat, give them your actually a Levitical law. But he challenges that, and you kind of have to ask yourself why. Even the thing of the Sabbath, you know, if you look at the Gospel of John, John clearly says Jesus broke the Sabbath. He didn't say he didn't, he said he broke it. But of course, you know, he was healing the sick. It's not that he wasn't doing something good, but he clearly does define that it's actually broken. So, but then again, if you go to look at the thing is, Jesus was the light of the world. And in order to have a Sabbath, you have to have an evening and a morning in order to have a full day. And if you're the light of the world and you live in the light, then there is no darkness. There is no morning. There is no evening. So therefore, he would not be walking in a realm where you could technically have a Sabbath. I think that's why he said Sabbath is made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So, although I do believe, like Jesus said, when the young ruler came to him, I said, good master, what do I do to receive eternal life? He said, you know the commandments. And he actually just names like the he doesn't name them all, but he's talking about the Ten Commandments. And he said, good master, I've done these since my youth. But he realized he still wants something. Now, he never says to go in there and keep 663 more laws to go, you know, the rest of the Levitical law. He just simply says, you know, take and sell what you have and distribute to the poor, and then you'll have eternal, you know, you'll have treasure in heaven. So there's a lot of different ways we could look at it. So in that regard, I don't really know. But then again, he's looking at it from the Greek language, and we got to remember the oldest versions we have of the Greek New Testaments is 400 years after Christ. We don't have anything newer than that. So that's where, you know, it's hard to say for sure one way or the other. But Hebrew Matthew, and even the Hebrew Matthew is not nowhere as old either. but it does give sometimes a different perspective. So I'll definitely look at that and see if there's something I can glean from it and maybe share with on our next broadcast with John. I'll just bring it up then.
Okay.
Yeah. Regarding the issue of the Ten Commandments, recently on my computer, I pulled up a copy of the Catholic Church version of the Ten Commandments and looked and compared it to the Moses version of the Ten Commandments. And clearly, the second commandment in Moses says, "You shall not create any graven images." Well, the Catholic set of the Ten Commandments doesn't say anything about you shall not produce or create any graven images. And also, in the Moses Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And in the Catholic version of the Ten Commandments, it does not say that, because Constantine, whom I also recently discovered, was a Freemason. The religion of Freemasonry goes way back before Christianity, I'm discovering. And so as a Freemason, Constantine and his Council of Nicaea, they changed God's fourth commandment from worshiping on his Sabbath, which is the seventh day of the week, to worshiping on the first day of the week. And the Catholic Church doesn't deny that they did this, but I know that it is very important to obey God and not man, not the traditions and doctrines of man, which Constantine and his Roman Catholic Church produce. And unfortunately, most of the Protestant religions follow along with the Catholic Church. So those are my thoughts for the day, and thank you for sharing.
Okay, thank you for your call. Well, Steve, you're going to be with me again Friday morning at 8 o'clock Eastern time, and we'll be talking about a wonderful product line, LifeWave, won't we?
We certainly will. And boy, John, I have just personally an amazing testimony about it.
Let's hear it.
I have
about 2 minutes.
I got diagnosed not too long ago, John, with a very severe bowel problem that was causing a hyperactive pancreas, gallbladder. My stomach lining was totally gone. My bowels completely had shut down. And, you know, doctors just flat out told me there's not much of anything we can do. You know, I mean, it's just everything has to be artificially done. So I was like, just to be able to eat, John, I had to take eight colon cleanse pills a day. Oh. Very powerful pills to keep my bowels moving.
We'll get more details this coming Friday. Steve, have a safe drive, and we'll talk to you Friday morning. Appreciate it.
Sounds great, John. Thank you. Talk to you Friday.
It's the day. Bye-bye. Get medical supplies, energy, cleaning, essential oils now while you can. Your firearms, ammunition, never, ever get guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. God bless my beautiful county of Crawford County, Missouri, the large, beautiful state of Missouri I get to live in, the even larger, beautiful state of Texas. And Lord, please, God bless the United States of America.
It's like a good one here.
If I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.